A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
A cool play says here on the Twitch, NFL is doing the devil's work, keeping families separated on Christmas.
Oh, well, luckily for me, that's already happened, seeing as my parents divorced when I was 12.
Aww.
I'm not asking for sympathy.
Oh.
The NFL can't hurt me anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I was kind of excited about Christmas football until they put the Texans on it.
You're part of the problem.
No, I think that is also my general opinion, is like I'm okay with one Christmas game.
Yeah.
But it's like the fact that it's the Texans. I want it to be a game that I don't have to watch, just background noise. Those are fine.
Like, you could have two teams who are three lost teams and fighting for the number one seed playing on Christmas. That's going to make me feel like I have to watch this game now. To what you were saying, it's too bad they're not playing, like, the Vikings on Christmas
Day. Yeah. Yeah. I think it was like Vikings Colts like a few years ago where it was like a crazy comeback game. Mm-hmm. That's like my ideal holiday watching experience because it's in the background and then, oh, there's a comeback.
Yeah, I remember that game. How many years ago was that? Was that?
It was like two, I think, last night. Two or three?
Was that 21?
20? Is that the one where they had like a 30-point lead?
Yeah.
Like a 20-point lead at halftime?
Yeah, I think the Vikings came back on the Colts.
Swung fully the other way.
2022, right.
Yeah, it's just, I don't love it. All right, new segment time. Now, we didn't get a lot of the juicy stuff this week, but we're gonna start this. It's time to see if we're down with Dana Brown. So, Dana Brown always gives us some interesting quotes, usually, on Wednesdays.
Over at the Astros flagship.
8-10 game win streaks.
Players back of baseball fine. Cards.
Back of the baseball cards. Obviously, a lot of the stuff this week was focused on Ronel Blanco. Didn't get an update on Justin Verlander. But are you down with Dana Brown when he says this? We welcome these investigations. We don't want guys out there cheating or using sticky substances.
A team that has been caught cheating before should never say, we welcome these investigations.
They welcome it.
I get what he's trying to do, where it's like, hey, an innocent man has nothing to hide.
Dude, you don't know that.
Yeah, but that's a little more bravado than I'd want, like, 12 hours after he got thrown out of a game.
He does have a flair for the theatric.
Mm-hmm.
Does Dana Brown? Politician-esque.
This is very, like in a superhero movie, kind of like politician.
Oh, where he's yeah.
Where he's like, I want to know the Spider-Man's real identity. Like, it's very...
I was watching Civil War this weekend. Like, it reminds me when they get the Sokovia Accords. And Tony Stark is all about it. We welcome.
Yeah.
We welcome.
We need a safety net for the world.
Yeah. That's what this reminds me. You're right, Sean. Let's see what else he said. He said it was umpire's judgment. If he feels it's sticky, we'll wait their investigation and outcome. We don't feel like the spin rates change, so there's no advantage there. I was totally shocked and surprised.
Okay, but the first part sounds like they're cooperating a little bit too much. I don't feel like he's got Ronel Blanco's back there.
Yeah.
I agree.
The spin rate stuff, he's right, but yeah, it's his decision.
It's his decision is... honestly, a ridiculous way for everyone to sit back and look at an investigation, the first of which was, again, started when Hector Santiago had something on his arm in June of 21, and then they placed it in an effing hefty bag with drawstrings. I don't trust that the chain of evidence handling is good. Just to be simple, good, let alone something that's going to potentially help exonerate Ronel Blanco, let alone something that'll be made public. There's no way they're going to share any of this with us. We're just going to have to basically take it and that means no Ronel Blanco for the next two starts if it's a 10-game suspension.
Yeah, if A.J. Pierzynski is on the side of Ronel Blanco and the Astros, you know that Major League Baseball is doing something wrong because it sure seems like he's leaning that way. I don't have the exact quote here, but because he gave this long, long answer, but he said he believes that players go in streaks. And this is just one of those streaks for Yordan Alvarez. He was specifically asked if he's hurt, and he didn't answer the question.
Well,
he then just started talking about streaking.
Let's be honest, the Astros, they never know what's going on with Yordan Alvarez. And he was talking about the kind of streaking that players go on when they're doing well, right? That kind
or
of streaking.
Bad.
Okay, he's not Will Ferrell in Old School.
No.
Gotcha.
Not meeting up at the quad.
No.
Bring your little green hat!
Oh, Snoopy!
Snoopaloop!
Yeah, but he's going streaking right now. The wrong direction. He's just going to figure it out.
You only hear about going streaking in the Will Ferrell and Old School way or in the good way.
Yeah.
You never really hear about, like, the Detroit Pistons had to went streaking for 30
down,
games.
Are you down with this version of using streaking?
I don't know.
Something?
I don't think I am.
Were the Texans streaking through the David Culley era and the Lovie Smith era?
They were streaking towards an early draft pick.
They were.
I would say that he could have, Dana Brown, used the recent play of Alex Bregman to highlight the good streaking, because there was a stretch where Alex Bregman's OPS over five at-bats was 2,100 per Paul math.
He did double down on his statement from last week.
Yeah.
About how Alex Bregman is the carrier of this team when he's going.
Well,
he's got scoreboard right now.
Yeah, the last two games at the very least.
They won a game 2-1 with him being half the runs.
But, I think he's on a hit streak since last Friday, or at least since Saturday. So, right now, Dana Brown looks a little bit right on paper. I don't think they're very, this one, I don't like that first quote of being we'll see what happens, basically. I don't know.
Blanco, you mean?
Yeah, about Blanco. Just to me, it's like saying, we welcome these investigations. You better know what you're talking about, dude.
This is not going to be much of an investigation.
Yeah, I feel like that's the thing. It's not exactly Deflategate here. This is just going to be, he's going to get a 10-game suspension, and then he'll appeal it, and then it'll be either upheld or maybe five because it's time served. That's it.
They're just going to look at the glove. That's pretty much it. And without Blanco and his testimony, anti-Hispanic because he was speaking Spanish to talk about his side of the story afterwards. Interesting. I don't know. We might have a class action lawsuit on our hands. But whatever the case, there's not going to be much looked into other than they'll look at the glove. They're going to touch it. Ooh, it's sticky and got gunk on it.
We should have asked John this. How long is it sticky for if you don't clean it? By the time they get it to do their investigation, is it still sticky? Or does it lose its stick?
So it's rosin and sweat that causes
the stick. The sweat would evaporate a little bit, dry out a little bit.
If it's in a plastic bag, it's in a Ziploc evidence bag.
Or if it's in a garbage bag.
Yeah, garbage bag's a little less.
So, is it still going to be sticky by the time they, how do they even investigate?
Hopefully they have the implements to... to do this.
The visual of that first game where they took the... there's legitimately a empty bag.
I get it's the first one, but come on, guys.
Been 3 years.
We don't have a gallon, even a Ziploc gallon bag. We don't have one of those.
That would be really funny if that's what it was. Court bag, the one that you the one that you have to use to bring your liquids on a plane. And they're it doesn't fit. We needed a bigger one. A gallon-sized Ziploc bag.
Yeah, just like the...
That's all we have from Dana Brown today.
Saran wrap.
He didn't give us a lot of the juicy stuff we've been doing.
No,
the sticky stuff.
I think
just
too many things happened. For him to directly comment on, he's better when it's kind of an open-ended question. What's going on with Jose Abreu? And then he can really play some jazz. This one, he just has to be we will cooperate with the investigation.
Place of jazz.
Oh, yeah. As soon as he was done with his interview this morning, he did make a trade, though, officially, by the way.
Oh, Corey Jolks, Sarah.
Yeah, the Chicago Astros have acquired Corey Jolks to add to Martin Maldonado and Corey Lee.
No Maldonado coming back. Damn.
No, it's this guy named Luis Rodriguez who had 44 strikeouts in like 35 innings last year. He's 20. So we'll see him in like 5 years.
Maybe.
Maybe. He's in like low A ball, I think it is. So.
Remember when people were pissed at Corey Jolks for taking playing time away from Chaz McCormick?
Yeah. Those were the days.
Poor Dusty.
Go Cougs.
I know. He was just trying to play a Coug. Like, what's wrong with that?
Yeah,
Jeremy Branham complaining about Dusty Baker's lineup all the time at the expense of a Coug. That's why he's a fraud and I'm not, because I joined the bandwagon voluntarily, baby.
Go Cougs.
Go Cougs indeed.
All right, are we on Ryan Pressly demotion watch? And just what's going on with Justin Verlander? We'll get into that next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
First, let me tell you about my friends at MyBookie. MyBookie.ag. This is your one-stop shop to bet on anything. You can bet on the sports. You can play cards, little roulette with live dealers, poker, blackjack, but also you can bet on all the sports right now. Maybe you were one of the, let's be honest, haters who were betting on Caitlin Clark to have 10 turnovers last night. Well, if you hit that as part of a parlay, congratulations to you. You don't stand with women, but you do stand to make a lot of cash at mybookie.ag. Promo code BET975. You get an awesome deposit bonus as soon as you sign up. Hey, look, we told you last night that the Astros, with Ronel Blanco on the mound, would cover the 1.5 run spread against the A's easily. But then the baseball gods smote us and took Ronel Blanco out of the game. Wasn't our fault that we didn't get the money last night, but you want to bet on the Astros tonight? MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. Framber Valdez and the Astros are 1.5 run favorites at Minute Maid Park, looking for an elusive sweep. You can bet on them at mybookie.ag. Again, promo code BET975 for an awesome deposit bonus. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with mybookie.ag.
ESPN
97.5.
This is Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
So Justin Verlander, we await to find out when his next start is. It likely, before the Blanco stuff happened, was just they're adding Hunter Brown back into the rotation, so they're figuring out exactly when JV was going to fit into the rotation. That's my assumption of this, because Dana Brown, Joe Espada, like, there has been no follow-ups about injuries. I'm assuming this is not an injury.
Whatever it is.
Like, the way the first tweet came out was odd.
Very sneakily, it came out. Yeah, Joe, I saw that yesterday, and I thought to myself, wait, is Verlander injured? And there was really no clarity after this tweet, which essentially was a, in written words, a tweet that said that Verlander's next start is not announced yet. Yeah. So naturally, just given how bad the Astros' injury luck has been when it comes to their starting pitchers this year, yeah, you're wondering, wait a second, is he gonna miss some more time? He's already missed a lot.
Yeah, that was my first assumption too, and not even everyone like hit was tweeting about this. So that's why I kind of realized in the moment where I felt like the initial reaction of this might be a story, it quickly turned into, okay, this is a nothing burger. I'm assuming, but I don't trust the Astros.
The original tweet was from Will Kunkel. Joe Spada declined to say when Justin Verlander will throw next, and Michael Schwab felt the need to respond, saying, just clarifying, Verlander is completely fine per sources. This is just about scheduling.
Well, speaking of Michael Schwab, so the other day, the Killer Bees put out a tweet before their show, and in the tweet said,
you sound awesome all of a sudden.
Ryan Pressly? Demotion? Question mark? And then Greg Rajan, who doesn't like me.
Why doesn't he like you?
I don't know, because I said Chandler Rome writes better for The Athletic than he did for The Chronicle.
Well, I mean, he gets to
write about
features.
What he wants. Yes. So Greg quote tweeted it.
The Chronicle raised my subscription, by the way, Greg. Again, you sneaky bastard. $3.99 to $7.99. Oh. I noticed. I got to call on the phone again?
It's a big jump.
anyway.
I really don't know Greg, so I don't have an issue with him.
No, I like Greg.
I've never met him. But he quote tweeted it.
You go after my boy, I go after you.
And it was like, while 790's competitors, like while 790's talking about how great Presley is, their competitor is talking about if he needs to be a demotion. And then,
well, who's talking about how great Presley is? Because Presley has not been good this year.
Yeah, the sample size, like over his last five games, he had a below two ERA.
Oh, wow. Guess what? Every reliever is capable of that. My God, are we looking at little small slivers of a season for a guy whose ERA is six?
And then, like Michael Schwab does, he decides to jump into every single conversation like he did with the Will Kunkel thing. Started dropping all these emojis and stuff like that. So that's why I thought it was funny last night when he started tweeting out, like, what's wrong with Ryan Presley? I don't know, man. 4 days ago, you said he was fine. But like Dana Brown, in his interview today, was talking about how it was one bad pitch. Here's the thing, man. Ryan Presley keeps having one bad pitch. Like, he's not getting shelled like other guys for this team have. But Brian Abreu is the more consistent pitcher. And I've said this, I've talked about this with Joel and Jeremy before I was with you. Like, to me, as soon as they signed Hader, it was very clear. Hader gets the ninth. Brian Abreu faces the best three hitters in the lineup. So if you're playing the New York Yankees and Aaron Judge and Juan Soto are coming up in the seventh inning, that's when Brian Abreu pitches. If it's the eighth inning, that's when Brian Abreu pitches. He is the better pitcher. He's been the better pitcher. He was last year. Like, you wanted Brian Abreu out there in bigger moments than you did Ryan Presley in a clutch situation, and it should continue that way. So, yes, I am willing to demote Ryan Presley because he does not look like he's handling this shift from being the closer to not the closer very well.
And whether he is or isn't, he pitched with a lead yesterday, and he blew the lead.
Yeah.
I mean, I tweeted that after I saw it. I was like, look, I know a lot of us are talking about, hey, well, he's uncomfortable pitching with a lead, and people love to make excuses for closers when they're pitching in situations that they're not familiar with. And okay, maybe there is added confidence pitching with the lead. I'm sure there is a bit of it because the hitters you're going up against are going to chase a little bit more because they're trying to tie things up. But hey, it's a 1-0 game, and you trusted the Ryan Presley of old in that situation. How many people listening right now, you, Joe, Sean behind the glass, felt comfortable with a 1-run lead and Ryan Presley coming into the game? 100% comfortable. In years past, Sean shaking his head, Joe saying not at all. In years past, we felt all right, at the very least, if not great, in that spot. And look, there's always been moments where Presley has been a little bit less dominant than you'd like.
Yes.
And that, the closers go through that all the time. But this year, it is continuously happening. And yeah, I don't think that the idea of a Presley demotion should be controversial at all.
Yeah, I mean, he's earning the nickname Stressley.
Yes, I feel like before it was a little bit of like the
tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, and what the Astros standards were before, where the Astros standards were if you walk a guy and then strike out the side, it was like, ugh, it was so stressful as they go on to win 97 games, where now it is like actual stress. Like, now I do not know if he will give up a run or not every time he comes into a game.
Same. Going into this season, and I remember when I was doing the show 10 to noon, we had Chandler Rome on once because we can only have him on basically for 1 month a year. And I asked him a couple of questions about Josh Hader being brought in. And I thought that he brought up a couple of good points about how maybe he has not, Ryan Presley, been as respected as he should be, given what a contributor he's been for the Astros over the course of this run. And I agreed with him. But this year, to this point, he looks a lot like other closers that we've seen just suddenly not be the same guy, seemingly overnight. And I mean, he's getting up there in age. It's a very high-stress job that involves a lot of work, not really a routine, because you don't know when you're going to be called upon. You can see why it's so volatile to be a reliever in the majors. So I'm not trying to like dump on him, but
no,
right now,
I agree.
I think we're all in agreement that he's not looking good, and you don't want him in that situation. The real question is, who else would you want in that situation? Because whether or not you want to demote him, like, you can say, yeah, I want to demote him, but you also have to have another plan here. And that is the...
And that's where it's just Abreu. Like, I don't like the innings thing. It's just Abreu should just face what you project as the three best batters in the lineup.
But is Abreu's having a bad year, too?
But he looks... When I watched him recently, you see the fastball, like the velocity's up there. He looks like dialed in.
But I don't know, man. I remember that game against the Mariners where his control was all over the place.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, neither are great at this point.
That's what I mean. Like, if you want to move Presley, I have no issue with that, but I need a concrete plan as far as what you're going to do there. Are you going to put Montero into that role? Are you going to put Taylor Scott in that role because of a couple of good months? It's a very difficult situation, and Espada has to figure it out. And he also has to manage the feelings if he decides to tell Ryan Presley, like, hey, man, like we're going to move you into a different spot.
I think he's still going to be the most complicated player on the roster when you get to the trade deadline because he's still good enough, and people, I think, will still look at him as a very good closer. And I wonder what kind of phone calls Dana Brown will get at the deadline. Like, if there's a team, like, for example, Craig Kimbrell's been a disaster for the Baltimore Orioles. If they can't get this Mason Miller kid from the Oakland A's.
I would love him to get Mason Miller from
so
the A's.
So sick.
Trade the A's the right to play in Corpus Christi straight up for Mason Miller.
It's better than Sacramento.
Yeah, they have a beach.
Yeah, for
sure. I don't know if Sacramento has a beach. Sacramento's inland, I think, though.
I think you're right.
It is.
But like, geography. I wonder, like, if Dana Brown gets a call for like a pretty good prospect for Ryan Presley at the deadline.
But that's not happening. Come on.
I don't know.
Come on. That's not happening.
Why?
Who is going to trade a good prospect for Ryan Presley with what they have seen this year?
Teams are desperate for closers.
Not that desperate.
If there's one position where I think you could acquire something like that, it would be closer.
You're a seller at that point. You need all the bullpen arms you can get. And I also look at the Astros and don't see them as one of those teams that is going to be a seller at all at the trade deadline. I think that they are going to go down with the ship this year.
Yeah,
even
probably.
With the rough start. But I don't think that there's anybody that's going to look at Ryan Presley and say, hey, here's one of our top prospects, you know?
Oh, yeah. I don't think it's like – you're not talking about like an elite-level prospect for sure. So
you're not getting
your
Drew
ROI
Gilbert.
Is
this is
not
Verlander
great.
Coming off of, you know, a Cy Young year.
Yeah, I'm just curious like what kind of calls they would get. Like I would never want to see the Astros do what the Mariners did a couple years ago. I thought that was one of the worst decisions I've ever seen where the Mariners are in the thick of a playoff run and they traded Kendall Graveman to the Astros. It was like – like, I would rather Presley just walk in free agency, and, like, as much as he's stressly right now, I still believe he's better off on this team than another, for sure. I'm curious, like, what kind of calls he'll get.
Do you think they could trade him for an Abraham Toro type?
Abraham Toro, key Gross. Contributor in 21 for the Mariners.
Oh, that's the comp that we're making. It's like an Abraham Toro where it's like an MLB player who's an MLB player.
Yeah.
Who's not, you're not exactly blowing your socks off.
Yeah, they don't need any of those. They got enough of those guys. They got Joey Lopofito. They got enough mid guys.
Maybe a third baseman.
Whoa, hang on with mid. That's an insult these days. It's supposed to be mediocre.
You know what? I apologize to Joey Lopofito.
You just called him mid.
Yeah, they have a bunch of mid guys like Jake Myers and Chester. Jake Myers. That's probably not fair either.
Mid. Should mean mediocre.
I know, but it's
but
like,
for the kids, it's, like,
it's a real insult. Now.
It's an insult.
Yeah, it's very weird.
Because if you're like middle of the pack, like if we're talking about like a team that's
bad.
Like, yeah, they're about middle of the pack.
It's boring.
Yeah, it's just like, okay, they're middle.
Yeah, nothing wrong with being
boring.
But if
you go like, that team's a mid-SEC team, you're like,
they don't belong.
Who is the most mid-SEC team?
Good question.
Mississippi State.
No, yeah. Mississippi State's just bad.
But I mean, we're looking at the Gen Z definition of the word mid.
I was going to say Arkansas.
Arkansas's at least been good, though. You know, like Mississippi State had Dak Prescott.
When's Arkansas been good?
Arkansas had some good years in the early
1960s.
No. When they had McFadden, Felix Jones, and Peyton Hillis. Like,
okay, so only 20 years ago.
Yeah,
geez. that made me feel old real quick.
Damn. Mississippi State's been more recent.
King of Twitch says his mindset is a closer, going to take a bit to develop into a setup. I don't know, man. He didn't have more than 10 saves in a season until 2020. Like, he was a setup guy. I just don't think it should be that. I don't know. I'm not a.
I agree. The mindset switch.
You did it from like 2013 to 2019.
Yeah, and it's not like Mariano Rivera after 15 years. Right. Like, we're asking him to change a role.
And, I mean, he just had his old situation last night against a team that's got a payroll of like $3 million, and he blew it.
Yeah.
So he was in the old role last night, too.
All right, what's going on? What else is going on in the NFL? We got more scheduled leaks. We got a new Hard Knocks coming out of nowhere, which I don't know if people are really going to be that interested in. We'll get into that next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. This morning, before I got here to work, I went to O Athletic, 767 North Shepherd. You can check them out at oathletic.com. Over 100 classes per week. Early in the morning, they start back up around 4:30. So if you want to get out of work, go to the gym before you go home and spend time with your family, your dog, your cat, whatever you got at home, you can do that at O Athletic. It's a great place to work out. Personal trainer, you can do between 1 to 5 times a week. I love going there because it's such a cool gym. Like it has everything you need between the weightlifting, all the machines. But I also like the fact that they have this like, there's this like little soccer area which you can use there. I say soccer because they work with the Dynamo and they do training camps during the summer for kids as well. But you can do any kind of workout you want in this area. They've got the MMA gym, the boxing ring, all of that is there for you at O Athletic. It's the gym for me. It should be the gym for you as well. OAthletic.com and 767 North Shepherd.
ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Stand! Hush!
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant and Joe George. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time.
All right, for those interested in international games this year, obviously Friday night, that first week of the season, we'll start off with the Packers and the Eagles playing in Brazil.
Boo!
The London games this year will be 3 weeks in a row. Jets, Vikings, Jags, Bears.
Actually, you know what? Yeah, suck it.
Patriots, Jags.
Suck it, England. You get the three worst games.
The Jags are playing their back-to-back weeks again.
Yeah.
One is a home game and one is a road game, technically.
Yeah. And then to make sure like they can expand the game in the best of their ability, they are going to have Daniel Jones or maybe Drew Locke.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Play Bryce Young in the Carolina Panthers. Giants Panthers in Munich, Germany in November. That's really how you grow the game, Paul. You put a 5'4" quarterback out there who can't see over his offensive line.
The lack of scoring will be familiar to these Europeans because they watch another kind of football.
Yeah,
so it won't
true.
Frighten them, intimidate them, scare them, along with all the freedom that is also going into Europe.
Speaking of the Giants, we're getting a new version of Hard Knocks out of nowhere. So now there's going to be 3 versions of Hard Knocks.
Oh, great.
There's going to be regular season Hard Knocks. There's going to be training camp Hard Knocks. And the Giants are doing an off-season version of Hard Knocks that will begin July 2nd. And they've been filming the GM, Joe Shane, and others in the front office to chronicle free agency and the draft. I will watch 0.0 seconds of this.
I already watched 0.0 of Hard Knocks.
It's not good anymore.
And also the off-season, the original version of it, and the in-season Hard Knocks I don't watch. Because the problem is NFL Films does not allow HBO to really dive into some of the storylines of training camp. Ever since the many Antonio Brown stories were not chronicled on Hard Knocks, I've been completely out on the show, and I will never get back in. And the effing Giants offseason is not getting me back in. Wow, the Giants. What an offseason it's been.
Signing Drew Lock.
Yeah, letting Saquon walk.
You know they're not going to be like, yeah, Daniel Jones sucks, man. Like, you know they're not going to have that when they're having the conversation with where they're, yeah, you know, maybe Drew Lock, he might just start for us, you know? Like, they're not going to show that.
And I don't like the in-season one either, because it's like a couple years ago, like the first year they did it when it was the Cardinals. So you got, like, Cliff Kingsbury up there talking about how great the next couple weeks are going to be, and then they're losing all these games by the time it airs.
It would be good if it was during the dead months of football. If they did these all, released them in June or something like that, fine. But
basically the first episode of Hard Knocks. Once we get a couple of preseason games in, I'm like, I want real football.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll always watch the first episode of Hard Knocks, and then I'm just like annoyed, like with the Robert Saleh stuff and all the crows pecking at necks and all the ridiculous stuff that they had on that one. Well, it was fun to laugh at the Jets at the very least.
That's why I can't say I won't watch a second of it.
Because right.
those clips, especially if we're talking about them dropping in July and August.
There's not much going on.
We're going to need to use those clips.
You're right. We're probably going to need to use those clips. I am so uninterested in this one because of who they picked too. This was not an eventful offseason. They didn't even draft a quarterback.
Yeah,
right?
it's a pretty boring offseason.
Yeah, they drafted the LSU wide receiver.
Yeah,
they didn't get McCarthy. They didn't get Bo Nix. Like they were very boring this offseason. So okay, I cool. Are they going to show? I'm trying to think of what else you could show.
Like they just lost their
granddaughter of the owner, Kate Mara, the actress, who is a very strong, independent woman. That would be
they
nice.
Traded for Brian Burns. There you go.
All right.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Get the
they
people
did.
Going.
And they gave him a contract extension.
No, I don't. I get nowadays we have to spin off everything like three different ways. Like anything that's moderately successful needs three spinoffs. I don't think Hard Knocks needs a spinoff.
I don't think regular season was one thing, but to do this, to follow a GM?
I'm not sure if, like, in the peak Hard Knocks, it really required this. Like,
Dune needs a spinoff, and guess what? Dune is getting a spinoff on HBO. That's awesome, because that universe is so crazy and very difficult to understand without subtitles. Hard Knocks, you're right, Sean. We don't need more.
Especially the sanitized stuff, though, because I do feel like it used to be less sanitized.
The NFL teams have full control.
We might be a little jaded on it because we work in the industry and we want to get a little bit more behind the scenes and we realize that they can't give you more.
Well, they won't, yeah.
But I also just don't think these are very good products, compelling products. I think when it was new...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that might be part of it too, is that when it was new, it was like, oh my God, Rex Ryan just will not stop cussing.
Antonio Cromartie just can't remember the names of his kids.
That's the other thing. They picked great teams because it was, I mean, basically it felt like every year for me growing up, it was a Cowboys season, a Jets season with, like, Cromartie and Rex Ryan, or it was a Bengals season with Chad Ochocinco. That was all the, every year it was the most entertaining players. Now it's Brian Daboll.
Because they've made it so hard. This year there's only four teams that are automatically eligible.
Because no one wants to do it either, right?
Because you can't have fired your coach within the last year and made the playoffs in the last 2 years. So this says Washington, but I think this might be from last year. But like it's like the Bears, the Saints, and the Jets. That the Bears would be good because you got Caleb Williams, of course. But like at least a story there. At least
I think they should do it to where if you have the number, they should make it a rule. If you have the number one pick, you should have to do Hard
Knocks. Like,
something like that, where it's like. Instead of saying this is how you can't have it, make it to where if you do something, you have to have it.
But see, they should be using this as an opportunity to expand their brand even more and to help grow. Like,
Christmas wasn't enough for you, Joe?
Yeah.
Like,
they're playing in Munich. What more do you want?
This should be the Texans this year. Like, if you want to do Hard Knocks the right way, you take the biggest story in the NFL and you put cameras around it. It's the Houston Texans.
I don't think they're the biggest story in the NFL. It's the Chiefs going for a three. That's the biggest story.
Okay, or you have the Chiefs do it. Maybe, but you probably make the Super Bowl champion exempt. But like you put.
I don't think you should, honestly.
Yeah, I know.
But put teams that matter.
I think it's either. I think it's either the worst team or the best team should be in it.
Right.
Yeah. Like tell stories that matter,
or just unprecedented access to bleep show organizations.
Yes.
I want to hear Hugh Jackson
like, "Hey, did you hear what they said about us on the episode last year?"
Yeah. Like, remember when Amazon did this for a little bit, and they were filming when Jeff Fisher had to go tell the team that he got fired a couple years ago? Mm-hmm. Like, that was good, actually.
I have no memory of that.
Yeah, that would have been right after they moved out.
Hey, remember? Do you remember the episode where Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce were together? That was a great episode of Hard Knocks.
Thank God. I don't want that.
Well, look, it's... More NFL, they can't stop ramming it down our throats. And the thing is, you know, we talk about the fat hogs getting slaughtered like Mark Cuban did all those years ago. This hog is so damn fat, it's on Ozempic. Like, there's no way. It's, it keeps getting fatter.
I was about to say, like, between our conversation with the Texans playing on Christmas and this, are we reaching a point? Maybe it's just us who have become jaded.
Definitely.
Because of our job, where it's like, are we going to reach a point where, like, enough with this NFL stuff? Like,
I mean,
enough.
Yes, but like, it's like the Pro Bowl. But 3 million people watch them play.
It's my favorite.
Football.
You're right. God,
like you're right. You're right. But like, we're in the minority. Like, we're not in the minority. But there are still so many people that are going to. So many people are going to watch this.
Yeah. I think most people still flew to Detroit for the draft.
Yeah,
most
a record.
Most people who listen to us, I would imagine, you also because you're listening on a semi-daily basis, are also like, okay, enough's enough. I think our audience
yeah,
is like that.
I would think so, too.
I don't think people are that thirsty for more NFL, but people keep on glugging.
No, if the Astros fall apart again, maybe we will watch this. I don't know.
No.
We have so much better options better in the world of entertainment than to watch the offseason Giants.
Kirk Cousins was asked if he would make a different choice to sign with the Falcons if he knew they were drafting Michael Penix, and he said, I don't really deal in hypotheticals.
Hell yeah, dude.
That's a yes. That's a Kirk Cousins yes.
That's a yes. That's the biggest yes I've ever heard.
Do you deal in hypotheticals?
Yes. Sure, what do you got?
Yeah, we host we work in sports radio. That's half of what we do is deal in hypotheticals.
Yeah. Just asking if you deal in hypotheticals.
We talk about the NFL and deal in hypotheticals. That's all we do.
Speaking of dealing in hypotheticals, Paul's trying to get me to quit the Bears again. Mm-hmm. He's got a laundry list of reasons.
I got a good list. I'm going to save you from yourself.
Things to dump on
you're
me
an addict.
Right now.
He's an addict. He's a dirty addict.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You are back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5
from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul and Joe.
All right, this is the point in the show where Junior Bronco cries on Twitch because Paul's going to talk about the Bears, not me.
Oh, that was a shot fired at one of our loving listeners, Joe.
It's mutual shots. I like Junior Bronco.
I don't think you do like Junior Bronco.
I don't know what Junior Bronco likes, man. But he's going to be upset about this segment.
I don't think he's going to be upset about this. We're trying to save you from yourself. This
save
is
me.
Intervention. I don't understand why you still root for that team, especially seeing as you're a season ticket holder for the Houston Texans. You've lived here for a decade now.
Yep.
You have no reason to continue to root for the Bears unless you want your fingernail painting quarterback.
I mean, why
be the idol that your son grows up trying to be, you know?
Well, what am I supposed to do? What options do I have?
You have the option that's literally your backyard.
Like, when it comes to the finger painting stuff, like either he roots for Chicago teams, he roots for Caleb, or he roots for the Rockets, and he roots for Jalen.
What if...
It's just part of my culture now.
But at least with
basketball... I am pro painted nails on athletes.
Actually, by the time your kid is like Jalen Green or Caleb Williams' age, they'll be like... Oh yeah, the older generation painted their nails. that's all of you.
Or everyone will do it.
Yeah,
and not having your fingernails painted will make you the odd person.
Jalen Green's not going to be here. You're going to be fine. Why are you guys laughing? I don't think that's a controversial thing
no,
at all.
It is just a very.
It reminds
funny
me
thing
of our wager. You bought your new cats yet?
My new what?
Your new cats.
You're no,
just to get two more cats.
Yeah, the one that I didn't agree to. I didn't agree to that. I'm not going to get... Arya will kill them.
Okay.
She is like her Game of Thrones namesake with other animals. She is terrified of Roombas and washing machines, but put a husky in front of her and she'll try to murder it.
All right. So why what's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong now? Tell me why I need to abandon.
So there is a Justin Fields smear job in action right now.
Yes.
Courtesy of our friend Tyler Dunn, mm-hmm. the Go Long Football. I guess it's just a conglomeration. It's
yeah.
a Substack. It's a bunch of podcasts. But from the sound of things, Justin Fields
mm-hmm.
is the absolute worst. At least with the way that it is being framed. There was a toxic as hell quarterback room featuring Justin Fields, and on top of that, Nick Foles and Andy Dalton. And those vets, Dalton and Foles, they wanted to mentor Justin, but Justin thought he was above them. He's always okay. walking 15 yards away from them. There were several arguments among the quarterbacks. Once, per one source, Foles was trying to teach something to Fields in the QB room, and upon turning at the rookie, Foles realized Fields wasn't even paying attention. His head was down. At that point, Foles was done trying to play mentor. The two could not stand each other. And you have more people smearing him other than this story that was released. Fields not meshing well with Dalton Foles was already out there. But you have somebody, coaches that used to coach him saying he'd be a great single wing quarterback if that was still around. Also, watch his eyes. He tries to see the whole thing and just doesn't see anything. His eyes are all over the place and it's really hard to watch. Mm-hmm. It's just bad football. So they moved on from Justin Fields. You're probably thinking, Joe, to yourself, okay, well, it's fine to stick with the Chicago Bears here.
Yeah.
Yeah. All of this stuff coming out.
I'm not surprised.
In an organization that did not move on from their crap head coach last year through all of this. Mm-hmm. He hasn't been a good coach. Not moving on from him and having a leaky ship like this. This does not bode well. This is the mark of a bad team when you have this many leaks. That's why I like what the Texans last year did not have. You don't have leaks that come out of the Texans organization. But when it comes to the Bears, just like the Jets, leaky ship. Leaky ships are what loser organizations are. And you have gossip like this coming out. Like, what's the point of like smearing Fields? He's gone. There's no benefit to it now. And I was like, oh, he's finally gone. Oh, it's going to get better with the guy who, and Caleb Williams, who seems to be already one of those guys who's going to be difficult.
The only like credence, like the only reason why I don't have an issue with some of this stuff is that some of the sources are for like former Bears coaches. So I don't know if it's like directly coming from like current people who are there. To be honest, like, I'm not surprised. Like, this is what happens. Like, people move on, and then all the bad stuff comes out. Like, you keep it hush-hush. Like, I thought the stuff that was the most, like, my biggest issue I had was the stuff that was calling him a bad teammate in general. Not the Nick Foles part of it, but there's another story in which they call him, like, he's a bad teammate. And, like, you have guys publicly saying how, like, they're not sure. Like, Jalen Johnson, who's now the highest-paid cornerback in the NFL, is talking about how, at one point 3 months ago, he's not sure how a new quarterback wins over this team. Because of how much of a connection Justin Fields had. I hear the Nick Foles thing. You know what I hear? I hear a young person having a hard time connecting with old people. Like, and I think it's unfair to put that on Justin. I think that's way more common than... Like, I think Justin was a bad quarterback. I'm an idiot. Like, I have no problem admitting that. I have my Bears goggles on. But when your number one wide receiver who had a career year is openly talking about how much better things already are in camp than they were before, just because of the fact that Caleb Williams can throw with anticipation... And Justin can't, like, that's what you know is like, that's actual football stuff. I think most of the stuff, though, it sucks. I think it's garbage.
The stuff that's coming out about Fields, whether he was this bad or not, it just feels like there's a lot from a lot of different sources are dumping on him. And, I mean, if this is one of these organizations that has a lot of talking behind people's backs, and then I feel like with Caleb Williams... First sign of trouble, this is going to stop. Also, another reason, Joe, for you to abandon the Bears, because that's what we're talking about right now, Joe, you don't need to root for them anymore. They can't hurt you. They have another drug dealer.
Another one?
Yeah, not Sam Hurd. Actually, check that. My bad. No drugs. I'm sorry.
Okay.
He was on the run. I was figuring, okay, well, he might be. But police in Canada are searching for former NFL player Buster Skrin, who stands accused of skipping bail on bank fraud charges, unlike Sam Hurd. Who was like apparently the cocaine kingpin of the NFL.
Two victimless crimes.
The Daily Hive reports Skrin was granted bail April 9th with conditions that included wearing a GPS ankle monitor, but he did not appear for a scheduled court date on Monday. Police posted on social media his ankle monitor was disconnected. He now faces additional charges of failure to appear in court and failure to comply with a release order. Canadian police accuse him of defrauding banks of more than $100,000 by using fraudulent checks to open accounts and withdraw money before the checks cleared. He identified himself as a former NFL player to those banks, so he's facing at least 15 counts of fraud, and it went on for more than 9 months. So the Bears employ criminals. Sam Hurd, the first one, and now Buster Skrin. So
I'm just so confused why he's in Canada.
Easier to defraud?
I guess that's where he's defraud. Yeah.
Yeah, they're not smart people.
Easier to defraud the Canadians and with Trudeau versus America.
They still think that the Queen's their leader.
Was he in the CFL?
No. It says he was last on the Titans in 2021.
So, Joe, look, your team is talking trash about everybody behind their back and employing drug dealers and tax frauders and taxation and stuff. That's fine. Yeah. Tax fraud's okay.
They want don't forget they want their citizens to pay for their new stadium.
That too.
Because I know you don't like that one.
I don't like that. Billionaires should have to pay for their own bleeping stadiums. And
thank you for censoring that.
Wait till we pay for the new Texans stadium.
But that's different because it's here. You don't live there anymore. Is my main point. You don't have to root for them anymore. They've not brought you any joy in your life, not once.
That's not true.
First play of the Super Bowl.
Devin Hester was running that touchdown back, never been happier in my life.
What happened after that?
They lost.
Yeah, pretty convincing.
Did they score like a touchdown after that?
No.
No, I don't think they did.
Thomas Jones not find the end zone.
It's my last hope.
You have an out.
I can't do it.
You have an out.
It's Caleb Williams.
Yeah, you're trying to. Are you saying that like that's supposed to impress me? Like a first overall pick. Like I think the guy the Patriots got is going to suck, Drake May. Like,
yeah, they're also telling you that he's going to suck.
For the most part, all quarterbacks probably are not the guy.
Oh, I know, but there's got to be one, Paul. There's got to be one.
They've existed since like 1923.
They got to find one.
And they literally have never had a good quarterback outside of Sid Luckman. And I don't even know if we had fought World War II yet.
I mean, Jim McMahon won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, Jim McMahon wasn't a quarterback.
Oh, Rex Grossman threw a touchdown to Mohsin Muhammad in that Super Bowl.
Attaboy, Rexy. Yeah,
Jim McMahon was like a linebacker who like went into the wrong meeting room once and somehow ended up as quarterback.
Great headband.
The best headband.
Hey, you know what?
God, imagine being the quarterback for that team. Like, you literally had to do nothing. Just don't screw up, because that defense is going to actually murder people.
That's a great transition, because you know who else loves headbands? Alex Bregman. It's the headband to the reason why Alex Bregman's back. Next. Oh, before we do that, we'll tell you about our friends at LaBerge. Like Charles will be there this weekend. Myself, Brian McDonald, Cam Smith will be doing a show there from noon to 3 on Saturday. Great sports book, 19 betting kiosks that you can use. So you can walk up, do all of it on your own. You can go up to the sports book as well directly and talk to a person face to face and place your wager. So whether we're going to bet on the NFL, look at Texans win total as the official schedule comes out, you know, bet on the Astros, whatever you want to do. LaBerge Lake Charles is absolutely the place to do it. There's a great casino there, plenty of great restaurants. It's a fun time, a good time, and I couldn't recommend it enough. We'll be out there this weekend, like I said, from noon to 3, so tune to the bullpen as we broadcast live from LaBerge Lake Charles. And when you leave Texas and want to bet on your Texas teams, make sure you do it at the LaBerge.
ESPN 97.5.